Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome, a wonderful approach to another wonderful Wednesday. I am so happy to be here. It's a Wednesday, okay? So that means we're halfway through our work week. We are halfway through a day, and it's been a day, you know, for all of those that fast with me, that wear the whites, that, you know, take care of your shrines, that just do the work. Because it could be some work, you know. We've made it to the evening, you know. We've made it to the point where we can sit back, relax, fellowship, learn, you know, because I always come with my pen and paper. But it's always a wonderful time of day for me, and I'm always glad to be sharing it with everyone out there. I'm especially excited because in a couple of days, we will be in Charlotte. So exciting. I love my travel schedule, even though it can be daunting at times, but I love to travel. I love meeting people and just spending this time with family. And Augusta was incredible. Last month, standing room only. And I am expecting Charlotte to do just the same, even though Charlotte, we were so packed last time. I don't know how it could get bigger. But we had a great time. We always have a good time together. It's a family, you know. We are 100% a special kind of family where we can get together, build and grow individually and collectively. And I absolutely love it. So I will, to all my family that I'm going to see in Charlotte this weekend, congratulations. So happy to be out. And then we go to Tampa, and then we go up to the mountains. So, you know, we have a lot going on. I didn't waste any time for the springtime. Spring, we are busy. Actually, a wonderful approach. We're busy just about all year round, but during the spring, it gets it's especially busy. And I love it. I'm sorry. But we have an incredible show today. I'm not going to spend too much time with my formalities, but I do want to remind everybody about the shows. If you missed the show last week we spoke about the law of attraction, and the law of attraction is so real and so powerful. I am, this is a spirit-led program. We never quite know exactly where spirit is going to be leading us. We just know that we've made our prayers for the day, and we're just about ready for anything that spirit could throw at us, okay? But last week, we spoke about the law of attraction, and that came from some really strong conversations I was having and really getting people to understand how much of their life they're actually bringing to themselves. And so when you realize that, then you will start to be more intentional with it. And you will start to want and understand for better things in your life. And you will start to become more responsible and accountable for the things that you are helping to manifest in your life. And so it was a wonderful show. And, of course, the callers make the show for me. You know, and so we had a number of callers call in and share just what they do and how they go about intentionally bringing positive things in their life and preparing for more positivity. And so it was very educational. And the law of attraction is something, there are a few topics I can talk about blindfolded, you know, and that's one of them because I apply it so much into my life. There is not anything that I have attempted that I have not received. Because I am still a young human, I'm still young, there are some things that I've wanted, and then after I got them, I'm like, you know what, that's just not the best, you know, it's just not the best. And so I've had to make some adjustments, but it's not that I did not get what I was asking for. I definitely got what I was asking for, and it helped me to grow and mature in my own understandings of life, and that's something that I'm hoping to do every day, to grow in my understandings so that I can be a better person. And so the next lesson I learned will be a new lesson, not the old lesson wrapped up in a new little present, a new little box. So the law of attraction is really important. If you have not watched The Secret, I have the book because I like to read and I like to see words and visualize. I like to start and stop the way I like to do it. And so I have the book, but there's DVDs, there's all this information out there. Please make sure, that's a must read, you know. Sister Unique keeps talking to me about this book club that she's going to be starting, where we're going to pick out a book that we're going to read and really begin to dissect it and everything else like that. So hopefully when Sister Unique gets on board with that, we can go ahead and get that together and we can really make this thing happen and we can have everybody, you know, really up on the same page. I hope that she includes in her list of reading The Secret. That should be definitely mandatory. So when she gets that up and going, she'll let us know what the books are and stuff like that. So today evening, we have the pleasure of speaking with Chief Redtail Hawk. Okay? This is an absolute beautiful brother that is part of the Indigenous Education Organization. He and his mother have done all this research and on Indigenous understandings, and they produce a lot of information, and they are part of a number of rituals, and you know, we're all into rituals, but after the many conversations with this brother, I'm like, wait a minute, we have got to talk on the air about this. We've got to, you know, allow people to understand how they can have this conversation with nature, how to have this relationship with nature. All of Mother Eagle people, A Wonderful Approach people, we understand so much of the work that we do begins in nature or ends up in nature. But we are always finding ways to embrace nature in our rituals, in our studies, in our meditations, in our anything and everything, because there is an element, a spirit that lives and exists there that helps us. So let me see if I can grab Chief on the line.
Greetings.
Greetings. Greetings. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Greetings, greetings. Thank you. I'm well. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so glad to be able to get you on the line and pin you down for a show, but this has been in the making.
Yes, yes. Thank you for inviting me. You know, it's been a while for me. I don't normally get out here and do the public speaking thing that much. However, like you said, we've been speaking for a while. And
yeah,
here I am. So I appreciate it. And thank you very much for giving me and us the opportunity to speak to you and your forum and guests. And we
absolutely
hope that what we have to share will be beneficial to the collective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm absolutely sure of it. And that's because in these conversations, you know, we speak about the elements of spirituality in its natural form, which is outside. You know, we are the ones that live inside, but spirit is ever flowing in the universe. And having being able to connect like that is so important. So important.
Thank you for, yeah, thank you for acknowledging not just some of the small things that we as a organization and as a family collective do, but also peoples and Indigenous peoples worldwide, you know, to have that connectiveness with your surroundings. And, you know, I'm a, what you would call an urban native, you know, I live in Philadelphia.
Right.
However, you know, concrete jungle kind of thing. And so it's not just the nature of trees and beautiful waterfalls and deer or buck running through the woods, that, you know, majestic, etherical type of you know, omnipotence that we consider when we think of nature, the nature and the way that all of us live, you know, and how to be able to connect with those areas around you that are offered to us as a, you know, as a public space, and then utilizing that opportunity to be able to connect, to be able to share, to be able to learn, to be able to express ourselves culturally again without the fear of harassment from, you know, authorities and things, and to again, like you said, to start to reconnect again. So, you know, nature is relative. You know, most people think of nature from the trees and grass and wild animals' perspective. You know, however, when you take a deeper look, there's a natural element that also exists within our urban communities, and there's plenty of green spaces that exist too for us to connect with. So, you know, anywhere we are, let's connect with nature. And I guess that's where we can begin our conversation.
Absolutely. And it's so important to understand that, because they're really wiping out our forests. They are, we don't have many just free space. And a lot of the spaces that we have are state run. Like, we have a number of state parks, but I was invited to do some ceremonial work in Arkansas, and there are mounds there. There are mounds in Georgia too, but there are some special mounds in Arkansas that we were doing this work at. And I was a little frustrated because I didn't want to feel limited in doing this celebration. So, like, if with me, when I'm doing spirit work, we don't stop till spirit says stop. You know, that's how I like to go. But when you're in state parks, sundown, sometimes it's 5 o'clock, you know, the park is closed. There are things that, like, I know in the mounds here in Georgia, where the Omogi tribe was, there are certain mounds you can't even go on. You can't, like, touch, you know.
They gated. And I'm like, they gated them.
Yeah. And I'm like, isn't that the purpose? Isn't that a natural understanding to touch this space, you know? And, you know, but we're limited.
Before I wanted to speak, I interrupted because I wanted to speak specifically with respect to, like you said, the limiting that we have to the public spaces available, but also Akmugi specific. However, before we begin, I wanted to share some things with the collective group and you. I've been listening to you for a while, and I, you know, the spirit has been guiding me toward using your platform to grow and to share and to learn, and you know, acknowledging the feminine energy that dominates the platform, and, you know, your listening audience, at least the ones that call in and participate for the most part. And you know, first I'd like to acknowledge everyone and to send my peace and blessings. However, with that, you know, I also have to acknowledge some things as a individual, right, as a male, as a man in this world today, as we develop and we learn. And we try to be better people first and foremost, individuals, human beings. And then we can talk about the man and the woman thing. You know, so I first have to acknowledge that I need to apologize to, you know, my daughters, you know, their mothers. I need to apologize to my sisters and our mother, my mother specific. And I need to learn as a male, you know, as a father, as a man, as a brother, as a son, as an uncle, to acknowledge that that exists within all elements of my interactions with the feminine in itself. You know, and that what I would like and what I would want for my daughters is how I must treat all women specific, if I would like for that to grow into a space where hopefully our great-grandchildren, particularly the women, are in a safer space than they are right now. And so as a part of my development as a man, as I grow up and I learn from my mistakes, as I rehab myself from bad decisions and bad choices, I just wanted to publicly acknowledge that and say thank you for giving me the opportunity to really, you know, hopefully in a humble way, again, you know, apologize to particularly the women of my family, my daughters, their mothers, my mother, and my sisters. And I'm working on being a better male, being a better individual, and being a better human being. And so
wow.
With that, back to what you were saying with respects to the limiting
okay.
of
you
our purpose.
You just dropped a whole lot right there. You just dropped a whole lot right there. Okay, now getting back to that, okay? And my
okay,
phone is blowing up because they are, it's so received and it's so needed. You know, we see the brothers trying, we do. But to have someone just really, really say, look, from my part that I'm still working on, you know, I apologize and receive me from here, that is real. So much could be accomplished just in that right there. Just in that. So I just had to give you a little feedback, you know, because it is
we hope so,
really,
right?
Really a lot.
As the collective
absolutely.
Group, we hope so, you know.
Absolutely.
And as I move forward, you know, again, you know, I'm speaking with respect to my children right now and my mother. And
right.
Me and my mother, we are co-founders of my organization. And, you know, we're a very family-orientated group of individuals. We're indigenous. And
indigenous, you are family-related, yes.
to be, right, it's not just a title to be called.
Right.
It's actually a lifestyle to have to be lived. And, you know, people can call themselves whatever you want to call yourself. You know,
right.
In this so-called conscious community, you know, how Chief Red Tail Hawk is the translation of my real name, you know, but Tavis Sanders, by the way, Tavis Sanders is who I am. So you can Google me and, you know, you'll find all of the videos I do and you'll find the websites that I do and maybe you'll find a couple of people talking crap about me. And, yeah, you'll find a couple of arrests, too. You know, I've been arrested a couple of times. Never been convicted of a crime, you know. You'll find 23 counts of federal indictment that they put on me back about 15 years ago. Not guilty on all charges. But nonetheless, you know, so much is out there in the world for us as individuals. You know, our life is there. and for us as a family unit, is like, okay, you know what, when you work and when we are doing things on behalf of each other, even when we make mistakes, even when we make bad decisions, the collective group is focused on one goal, for the collective group to do better. And so, you know, you have the opportunity to regain your footing and then get back in and play, you know, and back on board. And that's where I am right now. You know, in my life cycle perspective, you know, and here today, again, like you said, to share the spiritual connection that helped me over the course of the last few weeks, few months, and few years to strengthen myself back up again so that we can be better as a collective group.
That's right. That's right. You know, before we go any further, could you define indigenous, what you mean by indigenous?
Yes, thanks a lot for that. <That's> I am a practice attorney by trade. Now, I'm not a part of the Bar Association, so it means I'm not a United States Bar Attorney. However, I do have a function and ability to represent indigenous peoples and so I come from a very legal and political perspective when I talk.
Right.
You know, very, you know, this is what it means. Forget everything else, all of the commentary and social media stuff and even Webster's dictionary, which is really just a normal definition of what something is. It's not actually the real law definition. When you go in court, A don't mean A. A means 40 different things. Like Bill Clinton said, it depends on what your definition of is. And so I'm going to be very specific with this. Indigenous means that you are from the area, you and your ancestors are from an area before colonization occurred. You stayed in that general area during colonization, and you yourself and your peoples generally reside in that same area. And so for me, as an indigenous male, however, I do acknowledge I'm black. You know, I am black, everybody, you know. Here in the United States, I'm from Allendale. My family is from Allendale, South Carolina, on both sides. We're both from South Carolina. And we've been there for, I could trace my family back to early 1600s, probably 1500s. We just stopped. And we're from Allendale. And we've been there forever. And as far as the system is concerned, they can date inhabitants being in South Carolina, Allendale area, exactly where we're from, to 51,000 years ago, excuse me. It's 51,500 years ago. And so they know that a group of melanated individuals have been inhabiting the Americas for 50,000 years. Now, and so to have a functioning ability to connect with that history, to be able to show that we resided in the area during the colonization process and that we are still here today, that is the beginning of what it means to be indigenous. After that, you have to, like you said, you have to live it. And so once you identify and once you acknowledge your historical aspects to it, now it's okay. Now are you living as an indigenous person? And those are elements that, you know, and go get into a deeper conversation. However, one of the reasons why I am doing what I'm doing with the fire circles, which is what we were getting into before I interrupted you, is to show the world population that we as, you know, a black population, but also as, you know, some of us acknowledging our indigenous ancestry, do have a culture and do have the function and ability to connect with nature itself. And so, you know, so to get back to the parks being closed at 5, you know, and again, here in Philadelphia, there's a large community. You know, we have the Christo community, we have, you know, other religious communities and sects, and even some, you know, other maybe a little bit more controversial things, right? And somebody's always trying to, you know, do things in a park and, you know, have little fire circles, right, or even just have small gatherings in the parks underneath the sun or the moon. And specific to me and our story, one of our clan mothers, whom is Lenape, meaning that part of the indigenous communities from the area, she wanted to do her little thing in the park too. And the fire company came and sprayed the hose down and just really, really
disrespectful.
Shocked her. Yeah, right. Yeah. Really disrespectful to the culture. However, they don't know the culture. They see us as just black people. You know, what culture have we exhibited to them outside of, you know, what we monetize and commercialize? And so to see some black woman sitting in the park with this fire after the park is closed, oh, you in the way. Get out our way.
Wow.
So she spoke to me about that, and she was really traumatized, and she was ready to just give up on her function is trying to exemplify her indigenous to the world populace. And I was not necessarily in the great space also. However, you know, I could see the hurt that she had, and I knew that I could do something about it. And so I told her that we would fix that issue and that problem. And so me and her began to communicate with the city. And, you know, as indigenous peoples, you know, we have access to our territories. And while there does have to be communication, there is policies and procedures established for us to be able to be responsible stewards of our function and then be able to exhibit that function without their interference. We can do what we need to do without them bothering us. And so we made that agreement with the city. I think we got it back last February. So it's been a year now.
Wow.
And
wow.
Let me see. So what we do is during the new moon and the full moon on one of the mounds here in Philadelphia called Lemon Hill Mound, which was formerly a mound complex, we do a fire circle. And however, particularly we do it open for the public here in Philadelphia. So it's not as religious, it's not as ritualistic as others might be because it's open to the public. So we would have Christians, Muslims, different races of individuals, different backgrounds of people. You know, however, all of us come together for one cause, which is to sit, to celebrate, to grow, to learn, to build, to heal, you know, which is really a really strong aspect of the fire circle right now, is the healing aspects of it for us as a group of people now. And to be and have that function and to be able to do that and to show the world populace, especially our people as a black people, that like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, Nobuo Ali, you know, Stokely Carmichael, you know, all of our, all of us, we all been talking about this nation and, you know, and us and having our ability to be self-determining. And what I've done over my course of my life was say, okay, what do we need to do to actually accomplish that goal?
Mm-hmm.
And for,
well, let me,
you know,
let
and for
me,
I
have 1,000 questions, okay? What does
sure,
it
I
mean
apologize.
To be indigenous? What does it mean to, okay, we have census coming up. What does it mean to be counted as indigenous? Because I know we were speaking about that last week.
Mm.
You know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I know that, that y'all have done all this research and stuff like that. Tell us the website, because I want to get to my nature thing. Tell us the website for those whose brains are churning like mine, to how to get more information and everything else like that, because I want to get into the elemental, is the fire circle healing. So give us the website real quick.
Okay, yeah, so the website is indedu.org. And actually, as a matter of fact, we have a class coming up next March the 1st, next Sunday, on the 2020 census.
Okay.
So, you know, if you could
check
it out, check that
we
flyer
were speaking
out.
About that.
Yeah, it's really good info, too. You know, there's actually three censuses that the government takes.
I'm
sure.
So,
you know, it's important. What's going on here? What's really happening here? You know, and that's what we do. We want to get to the facts, you know. Emotionalism has been the of our progress throughout the last 100 years. You know, who stirs up the most emotions? Who gets the biggest crowds? And the way that you get the biggest crowds is by stirring up the crowd. Get them heated. Get them hyped. Get them ready. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're making proper decisions. You know, so fact-based information.
Absolutely. Okay, tell me about this healing aspect.
The fire.
Tell me about that, because fire is my element, it's my sign. We have a very close relationship, but, you know, fire is nothing to play with. You know, fire is it has an energy all of its own, and it can be hypnotizing, and they use fire for purification, I know. But these fire circles that you do, because I know you're getting ready for one this next week, right?
Yes, we're going to be doing one new moon, actually, coming up on Sunday. So we're going to be doing a small one for the new moon. And so different fires you can have different fires to request and to participate or to acknowledge different elements in different times, different seasons of the year and the month will exemplify and draw in different energies. And so, you know, depending on the indigenous culture and community, you know, you have, they vary from time to time, but for the most part, you get the same type of thing. Like, for instance, the new moon, which is something that a lot of individuals like to participate with, you know, and that's the, that's what you are, you know, bringing into this new cycle would be, what do you want?
Right.
What are you looking for? What are you requesting? And so that's just the moon itself and the element of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, to talk about to adding the fire itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the moon is connected to the water, right? And so, you know, that's a greater story for another time. Now we're
mm-hmm.
talking about also now the fire itself, right? And now adding, so now when we are bringing and introducing the fire into, you know, energy, which is the new moon, which is requesting you to bring in new energies for the upcoming cycle, month cycle, or if it's during an equinox or a solstice, then, you know, it's going to be for that quarterly cycle that you're going to go through. The fire also is a giver, but you also have to give
mm-hmm.
in order to get. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a steward of the fire, or one that operates the fire during our circles, there's only one individual allowed to touch the fire at during that time. That's the steward, and they give the fire life, you know,
mm-hmm.
through the wood, you know what I mean, and the energy that they offer to the fire. It's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to, you know, and we're
mm-hmm.
not talking about just a candle, you know what I mean, we're talking about a circle. You know, sometimes here in Philadelphia, you know, sometimes we have 50, 70 people in our circle. And so
wow.
As a steward of that circle, you know, I have to first acknowledge the reality that the fire is a giver of energy. And now
mm-hmm.
as these people are, you know, meditating, you know, praying, you know, asking for things and requesting of the cycle to come into play, I have to keep myself pure with intention. You know, and mind and thought. But for
mm-hmm.
everybody else, what's happening is that the fire will give them the opportunity to what we do is we have people write it down. Not everybody writes, but for those whom are particularly new to it, write down what you're looking for. Write down what you're requesting. Because the thought is the object that gives essence and energy to all things. And all things have spiritual, and all things have an energy force to it, whether it be a rock,
right,
or
yes,
or a chair, right,
mm-hmm.
a soul energy,
mm-hmm.
and we as observers, you know, we our thoughts give that thing its form, and so when we, you know, we have individuals write down their request for the new moon, you're requesting. And then you can burn that, and you release that, and the burning of it releases it into the air. And
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, and now it gives it the opportunity to emanate itself into the universe. And with proper
right.
thought, with proper energy of self, you know, not to be looking for things, but to make sure you stay focused and you do the small day-to-day tasks to allow what you're requesting to come into your life. Next thing you know, it's
mm-hmm.
there. And I've had so many different people come to me, you know, and say that about the fire, you know, because they let it go, but they stayed focused, you know. And
uh-huh.
for the stewards, particularly, something that people don't talk about, it's you're burning a lot of energy as a steward of a fire. Because what you're doing is you're
yes.
feeding the fire. The fire is
mm-hmm.
feeding everyone else. And so there's a lot of energy being drawn from you as an individual, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you're a vessel of energy, you're grounded. You know, you have
mm-hmm.
you don't need to have your socks and your sneakers on because you really want to ground yourself in a way. And
right.
so for
right.
those that are the stewards and those that carry the fire, you know, the way that we have the opportunity to get the energy is I really don't like to touch people afterwards unless they need
mm-hmm.
my energy, and now I'm offering even more energy. But to
mm-hmm.
humble myself, to go into prayer and to go into meditation after the fact, and to give the space and opportunity for those that stay afterwards to share in their stories and to know that we are all connected as one. And the life force that I just offered as a part of this fire circle is now being replenished from the love and the gift
mm-hmm.
of thought and prayers that I receive from everyone else that have been participative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my personal interconnectedness with the new, you know, with the fire circle itself and the new
right.
moon you requesting, the full moon you're discharging, you know, and then you we have the equinoxes and the solstices, which is the sun cycle itself, which is the even more dominant aspect of, you know, universal energies.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that the fire circles usually occur at in the evening, but I hadn't connected the moon in the moon phases to the fire circles, you know. And I don't know why not, though, because everything is connected, you know, as we have classes, radio programs, just conversations. We are learning how this is connected to this, is connected to that, and how it all ties together in respect to making things happen. You know, it's always, it's never as, I guess, face value as you think. You know, there's so much there. And the mounds are just powerful. I just did an introductory video, but that video was, you know, shot on top of the mound, on top of the big ceremonial mound. So it looks like I'm over top of the city, but I was actually on the mound. And that particular mound is so important to me and to my little family.
Which
so
mound
much
is this?
Right there, Ogmulgee.
Oh, may I tell you a story about Ogmulgee Mound?
Please.
So in 2004 or 2004, before they gated the flat top mound there. So anybody that doesn't know anything about the Ogmulgee Mound complex, there's three prominent mounds there. One of them is blown. One of them has a train track running through it. And so they blew half of the mound and then ran a train track through it. But it's three prominent mounds.
Yeah.
One of them is an earthen mound, which is a rounded hill type of mound, but you can go inside of it. One of them is just a big hill type of mound, and one of them is what they call a flat top mound. And a flat top mound would be used for like ceremonies and things of that nature. So in the early 2000s, let me see, I was 26, so that's 2003. One of our clan mothers and one of the chiefs were getting married. You know, our clan mother, Tahita, down in Georgia. She has a radio show down there in Georgia right now, too. I'm sorry, I don't know the radio show. But Tahita and Abu Zakor, one of, you know, they were getting married. They're chiefs of United Washita, the Du Namanya, that was from Chief Ramses Bay. You know, peace and blessings be upon him. And Abu Zakor, nonetheless, they got married. And my father, he was marrying them, so he was over the service. And I don't know if anybody knows, but some of the things that we do personally, again, I don't do it at the public fire circles because, you know, you want to make sure you're respectable to people's, you know, space, spirituality, and religion. You know, however, as a collective family group, we got together and we did a vortex for them as a part of their ritual as far as their marriage ceremony is concerned. And they stood in the middle. And if anybody doesn't know what a vortex is, the married couple stayed in the middle. We formed a small circle of nine around them that spent in one direction. And then a larger group collective that came and celebrated with the in the ceremony spent the other direction. Mm-hmm. This was on top of the flat top mound. We did that. I think the inner circle spent around 27 times. The outer circle spent around 9 times to make sure everything was even. And afterwards, tens of thousands of butterflies came.
Wow. Wow.
Literally. Tens of thousands of butterflies came. And they put a gate up around that after that. They gave in to prove it. And, you know, people like to pull receipts, right? To pull the receipts, look at the date that they put the fence, and then look at the ticket that they gave us for having the ceremony on top. They gave us a ticket for the ceremony on top.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's a special place for us, too, a special place for me. That was the first time. I was a young man coming from the inner city, really had a different type of upbringing. not natural, not into nature and things like that, and to see this cultural expression, see this ceremony occur, and then to see how nature itself, and not just nature, but other entities, other beings, decided to come and take part and to show, their gift in this marriage. And this, and that family couple stayed together until the passing of the Abu Zakur last year. And so it was really good and powerful engagement and relationship between the two. And the butterflies was just really the dynamic aspect of that. And so, we have space, we have power. And again, as an indigenous group, we have the space and opportunity to go in there and to say, we do have the African diaspora as a part of our, connective heritage. Don't forget the white diaspora that came here, because how you think they got here, and then the group of us that were here already, when we acknowledge the whole of our story, and not ignore any one aspect of it, we can say, then who are we? And if we are that, now we know what rights we have, what obligations we have to our community, the responsibilities we have to the next generation to establish those foundations that will allow the spirituality and the culture and to the traditions and our connectiveness to, our natural surroundings to take part without their interference.
Absolutely.
And that's my personal goal,
Absolutely.
So actually we're going to D.C. And we're establishing a fire circle in D.C. And we have actually already established a fire circle and have the acknowledgement and, actually the state, the local community government is really excited about us coming out there and taking part. And so is the one here in Philadelphia. And so, you do it right, then, we are respected the way that we should be respected.
And also the way you show respect. A lot of times it's not just how, it's not just our right to do something, but it is the consideration of others around us that, kind of validates the right that we have. So I don't want anyone to think that this is a private conversation, though. All you have to do is press 1. That will let us know that you would like to join the conversation. I'm Mama 7 on the line with Chief Redtail, and we are talking about spirituality in nature. Oh, no. You have nothing to be worried about, not at all.
They're going to give you some good questions.
One of my, I think it's my second favorite place to be, is a Sweetwater Park in Atlanta. And this park has been used by a lot of the Orisha and spiritual community in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have a relationship with the ducks out there. I call it my duck therapy. And I go out there and with a blanket and some bread, and I sit down, and the ducks will come, and they will come up and spend time, sit on your blanket, sit on you. They don't care. And when I lived in Atlanta, I would go so frequently, and during this time of year, they would allow me to. They would let the ducklings come up to me. So you see these little balls of fuzz with these feet and. They are so adorable, and I always felt so honored because I can only imagine this parent trusting me enough to let me get close to their ducklings, And so I always go to this park and always, spend time with the ducks, and they would spend time with me. In fact, I called it duck therapy because I don't have a temper, but it helps to have a place for this energy to be without, so I don't have to hold this energy. A lot of time, my empaths and my beginning spiritualists, my beginning mediums and psychics, they will be pulling all this information. They're pulling, and they don't know how to release it. They don't know how to let this energy go. And like you said, after your fire circles, time is needed kind of to bring you back to yourself, you know, because you recognize that you just had this exchange with this element, you know. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to pull it in. They don't know how to release. They don't, you know, they don't know how to do that. And so they are, they're walking around just building and building and building until they are either exhausted and are, you know, they're in the bed sick, or they are having these explosions in places they don't want to explode. So, you know, me spending time with my ducks, it was a wonderful experience, because it let me know how nature receives me, because nature doesn't have my resume. You know, nature doesn't have, you know, my anything. All they have is truly who I am, and they will let me know when that is acceptable, and even to the point that they let me spend time with their little ones. But I love to see nature responding to energy, because, like, again, they're not rehearsing nothing. You know, they don't have platforms. They don't have all of that. All they have is a feeling, a sense about themselves. And I love to see it. I will see birds. I love feathers. I have a collection of feathers. You know, when people come in, they'll show you, oh, this is my trophy, you know, my trophy bookcase. And this, no, I have feathers. I'm like, would you like to see my feathers, you know? So I have feathers, and when I go to ceremonies and powwow anything, I usually have my feathers with me. But I love feathers and birds and things like that. You have a butterfly story, and how they responded to you. How these beings not just responded to the energy, but to you personally.
Oh, really? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Well, I don't know how you know that, but okay, I guess I put it out there.
I'm psychic, okay? You can join the crew like everybody else.
No, like, she just really put me on the spot, everybody. Whoa, right? Like, oh, wow, you're going to make me put that part of it out there, too? Okay. Well, the part that I did dismiss, but the part that I did leave out, and I guess, you know, was that they landed on me. And I must acknowledge that, to the point where you couldn't see me. Nobody could see me, which was interesting, because I heard that after butterflies touch you, you know, the oils of you are not good for them, and they eventually, it's a death sentence for them.
Wow.
However, the lot of them, all of them, you know, decided to cover me from head to toe, to the point where, you know, everybody was in awe. And it was really interesting. It was the first time for me to acknowledge that, okay, I need to, there's something going on here. What's this? You know, like, wow, you know. And, you know, I'm moving my arms around, looking at, you know, it's an amazing thing that happens when tens of thousands of butterflies decide to land on you. You know, what's that about right there, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and so, you know, for the fire and the nature, and again, you know, we talk about, I'm an air sign, right? So, you know, for me, it's about controlling the fire, you know, and to make sure that the fire is burning in the way that is necessary for the larger collective group to gain the necessary energy needed. And so, you know, people, we as in general, you know, we're very homogenous individuals, and, you know, we are all connected, you know, spiritually to our surroundings, and whether we acknowledge it or not, you know, just as melanated individuals, we have that interconnection, and, you know, as we begin to develop that, you know, and after we go through our cycle, which I must acknowledge I went through too, where you learn how to balance that, you know, to balance the elemental forces that you're dealing with, you know, this systematic force that we also have to live up under, you know, and the balancing of what humanity means with both of these things, you know, I mean, the spirit and then, you know, the actual life system itself and what it takes to be, right? And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes those two things necessarily don't merge, you
right.
know, how, and
right.
find that balance, you know, but, and then again, to find space. So, like, a lot of the things that people do at our circles is, you know, again, we're in Philadelphia, so it's a city, you know, but however,
right.
when you sit down, when you slow down, one of the things we do is we come to the fire circle a little bit early because we do our fire circle. We do our ritual of releasing and requesting at dusk, right? At the time that the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the time that the moon is rising. And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
we want to use that time, not just the fact that it's there, you know, you want to acknowledge the whole of it.
Right.
But when you slow down, so at that time, if you slow down and you just sit and you watch, and you can, what they call it, the firefly dance. And I don't know if people remember fireflies, but they still around. All you got to do is just slow
yes,
down and just come out at the right time, and they'll connect with you. And you'll watch
absolutely.
This beautiful dance happen right in front of you as you lay
absolutely.
In nature. You know, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, a red fox, a feather, you know, grasshopper, you know, small, you know, maybe even a face or a picture that you might see inside the fire in a glance that reminds you of grandma or reminds you of an animal that gives you peace or calm or strength or courage. You know,
mm-hmm.
and those are the things that we find when we connect with nature. The things necessary for us to be better people as we get up and we move forward. And so,
absolutely.
You know, for me, you know, it was to say, okay, you know, this connectiveness that I have to a higher spirit through, you know, action, it has to be through action, you know, it happened after we did our vortex. So I had to learn how to call in the right type of energy for
right.
the space and that you are looking for, and not just play with energy just because it's there for you to play
look.
With, to,
mm-hmm.
to be mindful
mm-hmm.
of what you're requesting, because be careful, it'll come.
yeah. As we do guided meditations, and we have one coming up this weekend, and the energy is so real. And when you have four sets of ancestors per person, and you're dealing with this many people, that's a lot of ancestors. That's a lot of energy. And maintaining the flow, maintaining
mm-hmm.
the cool, maintaining all of that in the middle of that energy is so very important. And when you're in nature, I find that job easier and harder. You know, the parts of it are easier because you don't have to pull for energy. Energy's there. It's ready. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's ready to work.
Mm-hmm.
But making sure that the humans there are able to manage themselves in the middle of all of that, that can be challenging. That's one of the reasons why the retreats, when we do retreats, and the retreats are over a weekend, we go to up into the mountains of Georgia, and this is where the Trail of Tears started. And I have a relationship with that energy there. And I've tried to work in other places, but it feels kind of like pulling teeth. You know, the energy is not strong. The energy doesn't have a connection with me personally. I'm reintroducing myself, and it's wonderful to go to a place that's already home for you. So,
you may have some indigenous roots. You may have some indigenous roots from that area.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Nice to hear.
And they They allow me to work there. They encourage me to, you know, they have let me know, as long, you know, you doing God's work, you are welcomed here. We're going to protect. I'm there. It was so dark, last place we were at, that I looked outside and I blinked my eyes a couple of times because my eyes couldn't even focus on the dark. That's how dark it was, okay? So I have always been safe and protected, even though we have cabins hanging off a mountain and everything else. Like, we had so many deer running around. And I had a deer just walk up to me. I was unpacking a car, and he just walked up to me, and they're kind of tall, you know, especially when you're up close to them. And he was looking at me like, what you got? And I'm like, okay, greetings, and I'm going back inside, you know. So the nature aspect is so real. It's such a part of what we do. It forces us to respect it. We're respectful people anyways, but it truly forces a humbleness, I would say, if I had to find another word. It forces a humbleness that we are able to work in such an area and have a reputation of being good citizens of spirit in that area. So it is a wonderful thing.
If I may.
Chief, please.
I just would like to acknowledge and the responsibility that the collective has placed upon themselves to,
yes,
you know, to be honorable, to be respectful,
yes,
you know, to leave the space in at least as good a condition as,
yes,
it was before you got there, you know, and
yes,
to be kind to, you know, to others that may not have come there with you but are there. You know,
yeah,
we don't own any space that we are in, you know,
right,
and just as people, just as you would want people to come into your home and respect you,
okay,
even in public,
okay,
when we go to the mall, we should be respecting the people, you know, so
okay,
I just wanted to acknowledge that, and that's an indigenous theme,
yes, it is.
And that was another way
a
for
lot
me to plug, you know, throw that plug in there a little bit.
That's right, I get you,
mm-hmm,
I get you. No, we would, after breakfast, we go out and we share our leftover food. You know what I'm saying? There's no need. We're not going to hold
mm-hmm
in it. So the first day, after about an hour, I noticed a whole, I think they're called gaggles of crows over there. All right. Day two, you know, maybe 30 minutes after we put the food out, they were up there eating all the leftovers, and we had a good relationship. Day three, they were waiting for me. I said, now, can we eat first? You know, and they're like, hello, we've been working on this for 3 days now. We in a relationship. Hand over some of that food. So, you know, even when we're out there, we share. And they will tell you, I lecture them to death. We can leave offerings and be, you know, one in nature, but make sure that we're not leaving paper. We don't need to leave the plates. We have to take the plastic off, you know, and just so that it becomes
mm-hmm
truly a natural experience and not creating a harmful experience by having after the food, which is trash, you know. So we don't have
mm-hmm
that, and that's definitely something that I speak about. I don't want to harp on it, but I do speak about it. But, Chief,
even,
I have someone that would like to
candles,
join the line.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, okay. I just wanted to
candles
say, even the candles, you know, even that,
no,
and I know that's
especially
a way for us to connect, but yeah, even the candles, they can't eat that stuff.
Exactly. Everything. If it cannot be eaten by ant, bird, or, you know, fox, whatever, if it can't be eaten, right.
How about the dirt? If the dirt can't eat it, don't leave it.
That's right. But I have a caller that would like to join us. So I'm going to grab the phone line real quick, okay? So stay right there with
mm-hmm
us. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Oh, peace.
Uh-huh.
This is Unique with our book club. How you doing?
Here you go again.
How is your evening coming, my dear?
Oh, my goodness. Chief, how are you doing? I'm Sister Unique. Mama 7 have this relationship where every week I realize I'm being voluntold something. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, now
and I'm glad
to the collective. yeah, she announces it to the collective. What do I do now? So I was like, okay, so, yeah, so look forward to this book club. I'm obviously going to start now. So.
Right. But, absolutely.
Yeah. I was like, unique who? Like, I was like, okay, so, yeah. But first of all, I want to say from the collective, all of us beautiful sisters, we so appreciate you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But we accept that apology from the collective, and we embrace it, and we say thank you. It feels so good just for somebody to say, you know what, I apologize for what I did knowingly or unknowingly, and know the repercussions that, you know, what I do can eventually fall upon my own daughters, and to see that. And it was so beautiful. Like, you know, me and my sister, we texted back and forth like, yes, oh, my goodness. Like, who is this brother? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm intrigued. Let me listen. You know, because it's such a beautiful thing. So thank you so much, first of all. But thank you for that
Thank
part.
You.
Yes.
I'm very humble in my space and wanting to be, you know, better than yesterday. And so, again, you know, this, what is a man, a black man specific, is a definition that, you know, I'm going to ask particularly my mother and my sisters, you know, let us men define that. We haven't had the opportunity to define that for hundreds of years.
Yes.
And unfortunately, our mothers aren't able to define that for us. And so hopefully, you know, by, you know, me acknowledging and sharing with my sons my failures, my faults, you know, acknowledging myself to my daughters and to their mothers, and will begin to show, you know, maybe not the men that walk with me right now, but though their sons, my sons, and those young men that hear us, that are around, you know, and other men such as myself that may not necessarily have the ability to reach a large platform like this, but are still, you know, every day doing the best that they can to be good representatives. And, you know, they don't share that part of us. And so if I can share that part of us just a little bit, I appreciate and I thank you so much as an individual, you know, and then again as the collective. And I'm going to continue to do the best that I can to walk on that path every day. You know, because again, it's hard out here for us.
I say. And vice versa, you know, and vice versa, because, you know, we support our brothers, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we are the original people, you know, and
that's
to move forward, I've always said, and I've said this before, that our history did not start in slavery. You know, the book that came before Columbus, you know, they were there before Columbus. Yeah, true indeed. When you said 50,000 years, I'm like, yeah, hello. You know, everybody that of a darker hue is not, did not come from a slave ship. You know, there were people here, you know, and I always felt that. I've always known that, you know, and to just to hear somebody that can go back into their generation, go back into their family and say, oh, we've been here. You know, I can go as far back as the 1500s. That's deep.
Yes.
That says a
lot. Well, shameless plug, through our nonprofit, we have a book. We publish books, actually. We have one called Revealing America's Dark Skin Past. And that gives the history of what was happening here in North America. You know, that we have pyramidal mound complexes and structures that predate Egypt's pyramids. We have cities and pyramids that were built here in the Americas that predate the pyramids in Egypt, yet the pyramids in Egypt mirror the pyramids over here. What was really going on here, everybody? Not to take away from the greatness of the Egyptians. However, if we're saying that it was a society that predated them, that was doing the same thing, and they were here, and what I'm saying is that the colonizers of this land hid that story and only shared the small part of the African diaspora with, you know, in relation to the larger part of who we are, so that we wouldn't know that, guess what? We as a black population are the only people that they can say, these people came from here and they did this. Why? Because we have not moved for 50,000 years. We still inhabit the same general area. So we can take a map of the dark-skinned indigenous peoples from the 16 and the 1500s. You can take a slave map from the 1800s. It's the same map. And then you can take a census map from 2020. It's the same map. And and as a populace that had, you know, now I'm not dismissing, you know, our sister and our kinship to our, you know, our brothers and sisters in Africa, or the Caribbeans, for that matter, as a part of that triangular trade. However, just like, you know, I'm a lawyer. Like, I'm an attorney by, you know, I argue, and I'm always in a sad face, and my mom and my dad always scared. That I had a conversation with the feds, that, you know, and I told them, because I said, listen, man, I said, they said, oh, so you're indigenous and you can take your family history back to 1600. I said, using y'all stuff. And I'm telling y'all, using y'all stuff is because what happens is when we acknowledge who we are and our history as a whole, then you can choose. Well, you know, if you want to be African American, then fine, that's cool, that's a part of us. If you want to be a Moor, fine, that's cool, that's a part of us. All of that is fine. And, however, you know, when you choose to acknowledge yourself as indigenous, now we have a space within law to establish foundations to truly be self-determining, to truly establish those functions of self-policing and self-economic development. And then just little small things like, yeah, the park closed at 6, but as indigenous peoples, our event don't start until dusk. And that ain't until 9 during the summertime. And so we won't be here until 4 or 5 in the morning if we so choose. And I ain't going to lie to you, the clan mother, she be camping out there sometimes. She pitch up a tent right in the middle of the city. And as indigenous folk, we're not going to abuse the space, but y'all got to respect us and allow us to use the space too.
Right.
And so thank you for allowing me to share that.
Really got to get to. Something we got to get to. Absolutely. So, Sister Unique, with your book club, right?
I heard the book. I was like, I need to read this book.
Available on Amazon.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much for allowing me to share that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Seven.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, you know, one thing I want to, I would love for you to share with us is, you've been to Sapelo Island a couple of times, you know, and you have a very special relationship with the water, and particularly with that water there. There's a connectedness there with her. And so, Sister, would you like to share anything about the beauty of that beach?
It's very interesting because while you were talking, and you were talking about the relationship with the fire and how it connects with the moon, I was thinking about the same connection with the water and the moon and how all of those things work together, you know. And I've been to Sapelo. When I say, as soon as I hit the island, I was like, whew, okay.
Yeah.
I know this place. You know how you go someplace, you like, it's very familiar, but the water was just so, like I go and I drum at the water. Like, it seems like she tells me what she wants. Like, I want to hear music. You know what I'm saying? I want you to dance for me. You know, I want, and I bring it to her. You know, bring me some children. Here we go. We're going to get baptized. You know, Mama 7 to tell you, she was like, well, where are we going? I said, we're going to Hunting Island in Beaufort, South Carolina, one of my favorite.
South Carolina.
Oh, I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, that's your island,
Dylan. Yes.
Well, I don't know if you know this,
but the island itself has a mound there. And as a matter of fact, it's surrounded by mounds, but not just any mound. And so just in case anybody doesn't know, you know, mounds would they basically be considered dirt pyramids. However, you think about it, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, it's just a dirt hill. No, these have been built by people with dirt that's been around for tens of thousands of years.
Yes.
It's not, and just think of what rain and water and wind does to stone. But
it fortifies
dirt, and it didn't do anything. It kept it, and so the science was very high. However, it's very, very unique. In those islands are what they call shell mounds. We also do television program, education programs, and if you wanna, we have free stuff on YouTube or on our website. One of them is called the Shell Ring Mounds, and on Sapporo Island, what they have these things called shell ring mounds. And these shell ring mounds were made from shell deposits that the indigenous populations created. And then they would use, they would align them with the moon sun cycles. And so, you know, and we're talking about, you know, maybe 5,000 years ago. And so literally the ocean has risen maybe 12 feet. And so, you know, back 5,000 years ago, you might be able to walk to Cuba from Florida.
Right.
You know, that's how much lower the water was. And actually, they know this for a fact because a lot of our city complexes are underneath the waters off the Gulf and right on the right side of, you know, the Atlantic. And, you know, and some of the mound complexes, like the shell rings, are underneath the water. But if you are interested, and next time you go there, some of them have not been completely buried. And so you still be able to, they call them the Sapporo shell rings. And so if you can, you know, go to our YouTube page and get a little bit of history about those or do some of your own research and go visit them yourself. It's a historic, you know, landmark.
Sure indeed.
Absolutely.
Yep. And just as you use the drum with the water, I use my flute with the fire.
To make it dance.
To make it dance. The flute makes the water dance too, so I like to play with the water too.
Okay.
I'm an air sign, you know, so we everywhere. We like
information. Yeah, well, I'm an earth sign, so hey.
Time
absolutely.
To ground us back. No, she grounding us back to this. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you,
Sister Unique, and sharing all of that. And we'll talk about books up later. So that third or fourth week in May, we will be at the water right there in Hunting Island. She'll correct me later. But, you know, we'll be right there doing our baptisms again, having those natural experiences with the water, with each other, with sound. And it was phenomenal last year, and it's something that I'm committed to do every year. And, Chief, you're more than welcome to join us. And it's a family affair. So I know, you know, you have children. You know, this is something that we do, and we do with our families, because if that next generation is ever going to have a relationship with nature, it's going to come from us. It's going to come from them seeing us out there doing this work and sharing with others. So that's something that I would like to invite you and your family to. And I know you said you work with your mother right there in Georgia, South Carolina, right down the street. You know, the way we drive it is, you know.
We're always interested. We're from South Carolina, so we definitely would be very interested. We're always
absolutely
there too. You know, Maysville. I don't know if you know about Maysville, South Carolina. Never mind. But we've got to talk about.
Okay. You're not going to believe this. I don't believe this, but our time is quickly coming to an end. It's hard to believe, because I've had so much fun. I've learned a lot. You know, you have a lot of great information to share, and you share so easily. You know, I like what you said I'm going to give you something, and then I'm going to tell you how to look it up. You know, I'm going to show you how to do your research, your due diligence, and that's what we need. We need not only to be given information or to have information shared with us, but also to have ways and places and spaces to look it up, you know, and to make it personal for us. You know, each person has an element that they're close to, but don't just pay attention to that one element. Pay attention to how that element also interacts with other elements. So I love the idea that, you know, you say you personally are an air element, but this relationship with fire, fire needs that air to breathe. You know, fire is living. And so that air is part of that breathing process. And so when we are, you know, when ceremony is complete and we're turning off the candles, we don't blow on them, but we just take the air off. You know, all you have to do is stop the air from getting to the candle, and that naturally lets the fire dim all the way down to out. So, you know, that air part is a right within its own, but that relationship it has with fire is to be respected. And so as we start learning more about these elements in nature, we start to see, I mean, to me, it's awe-inspiring. It causes, it demands respect in a gentle way. You know, when you see the power, when you see those oceans, those waves roll in and knock you down a couple times, you'll be like, okay, I get it. I recognize you are powerful, okay? You get tossed around a little bit from a wave or two, you're going to recognize that water, you know, it's not just something that drips out the faucet. Water has a power to it, and it definitely is commanding, and it lets you know. In the earth, which provides that foundation for them all, is, you know, it is that balance.
That balance.
That support.
That's right. That balance.
So, look, I think this may be your first A Wonderful Approach debut, but I have a feeling and I'm hoping that it won't be your last. I know your schedule gets busy right about now, but, you know, we will remain in contact so that we can make another time, because understanding, we do a lot of talk of ancestors, but there's also those that are interested in understanding not just ancestors as a general body, but what type of ancestors, you know, like where exactly do I come from? And why does that make a difference? And how does that make a difference to me being here in America right now? So these are conversations that I would love to have in the future with you. So we'll see how your schedule allows for, okay?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I would love to have, those are really interesting type conversations that I would like to have. I don't really hear people ask that. and that's, that's wonderful. Yeah, I would definitely be interested. Thank you for offering, and thank you for allowing me the space and opportunity to share with your collective this evening.
Absolutely.
I really did enjoy myself. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I had to smile a whole hour and a half.
You did it. Now we're getting to the easy part, okay? We're getting to the prayer portion. I absolutely love prayer portion, because the reason why it's so important is because we know and we acknowledge that God makes everything happen. And so when we put God into anything and everything, it creates a divine experience, and it allows for healing to come into place, joy to come in. It allows for all those things that are positive to be to come in and to really allow the work that we do to be a worthy sacrifice, you know? And so, and over the last, I think, 2 years you've been doing this, we've had all kinds of different people offer different types of prayer. You know, some people share words, some people share rituals. There's all kinds of way. We've had songs. We've had all kinds of different expressions that were elevated to prayer status. So, and I always like to ask, you know, would you like to make prayer? Would you like to offer a prayer for the evening?
Actually, I would. Thank you for asking. And so, please, this is a prayer to, it's called Mother Earth Prayer, actually. Thought it would be fitting for this evening. and as mm-hmm. respects to the spirituality that we speak in, the interconnectedness with nature. So let me read it. Mother Earth, hear your child. As I sit here on your lap of grass, I listen to the quality of your voice and my brother's, the wind, as he blows from all corners and directions. The soft and gentle raindrops are the tears you cry for your children. Teach me the lessons you offer to nurture my children as you nurture yours, to learn the lessons of the four kingdoms that make up the world of physical things, and to learn to walk the path chosen so long ago. Mother Earth, hear your child. Be a bond between the worlds of earth and spirit. Let the winds repeat the knowledge of the grandfathers who await unseen, yet visible, if I only turn my eyes to their world. Let me hear their voices in the winds that blow to the east. Let me hear their voices in the winds that blow to the south. Let me hear their voices in the winds that blow to the west. Let me hear their voices in the winds that blow to the north. That was a traditional Native American prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.